morning. How are we doing? We're doing all right? Good. It's great to be with you this morning. Yeah, my name is Naomi. For those that don't know me, I'm 25 years old now, just turned 25. Married to James, which is great. And me and James, yeah, we're the youth and young adults pastors here at New Horizon Church. And we also work at a school. I'm a youth worker in a school called Blue Cut Academy as well. And I love what I get to do. I get to talk to young people every day about God. I get to talk to young people. I get to try and bring them hope. And, you know, in a lost generation, I'm trying to, you know, I feel that God's called me, and me and James feel God's called us to speak hope into lives. And I'm thankful that that's what I try and get to do anyway. It's great. It's fun. It's great. Every Friday we have a youth group here, and this place is packed of young people aged 11 and 17, and God is just blessing that work. So can you just pray and keep praying that fruit will come from that? Got to say that on Friday we saw more decisions again. So we've seen more decisions of people coming to know God, and those that already know God just encountering God even more and going deeper in their faith. So it's exciting. It's good. It's so good. And I'm excited about what God is doing in this church as well, yeah? Don't we love being in church? Yeah? It's great. It's great to be in church. So I want to start this morning by telling you a bit of a personal story. It's good to get a bit personal sometimes, isn't it? Now, don't see this as, I don't want you to see it as a bit cheesy. It's a little bit cheesy, but try not to be too cheesy. On the 7th of May, 2015, I had an encounter that changed my life. And I want to talk about that for a few moments. On the 7th of May, 2015, I walked into a conversation with James Gordon. I know this is it. I'm not often very like romantic or cheesy, so I feel it. But I had an encounter with James that changed my life forever. I was studying at Massey Bible College, but I was a distance learner. So I was working full-time, whereas James was a full-time student there. And I'd seen James a few times. I'd met him in the January, I'd seen him a little bit, but I'd not spoke to him, not really had a proper conversation with him. And on the 7th of May, 2015, there was a group of us at AOG conference at church in Peterborough. And James was there, and people knew how I was kind of feeling. They knew that I'd seen this guy, and they'd often, when they saw James, they'd often say something to me. And there were subtle conversations. But on the 7th of May, I walked into a conversation. I thought, I'm going to go and say bye to him, because I've not really spoke properly all week. So I'm going to go. The auditorium was a bit like this, and it was quite empty. People were leaving. And I went up to him, we got talking, and I was saying bye. And then he was like, oh, do you and your friends want to come to Nando's with us? We were like, yeah, of course, welcome to Nando's. Of course, there's a group of about 20 of us that went to Nando's. A little bit of Nando's, right? There's a group of 20 of us that went to Nando's. And actually, is Cheryl here? Yes, Cheryl was there, weren't you, Cheryl? Cheryl came with us, and there was a few of those, Jess Coates and Naomi Faulkner and a few of us. And we went to Nando's, and it just felt like, even though there was a group of 20 of us, it felt like it was just me and James in the room. Do you know what we did? You're just chatting away, weren't we? Oh, no, I knew I'd get this. We were just chatting away, and then we all went for a walk around the cathedral, obviously James's idea. So we all go for a walk, and again, me and James were chatting about faith, we're chatting about life, we're chatting, and then we got on really well. And then we were leaving, we went back home, and Jess Coates was giving me a lift in a car, and we were talking about it a little bit, but trying to be a bit subtle, and trying not to get too excited. And then that evening, I went to the cinema with my friends, some of my friends, and I was telling them about this guy, and I said, you know that guy that I've been seeing around Bible College? Well, we've spoken and we've had loads of chats and it's feeling good. And they're like, Naomi, don't get carried away. They're like trying to be them friends that are like, okay, it's cool. And I'm like, no, there's something about this guy. I know it. I was there, and then I'm in the cinema, we're watching a film, and I look at my phone, which you shouldn't do in the cinema, it's quite annoying to do that, isn't it, in the cinema? I looked at my phone, but it said, James Gordon sent you a friend request on Facebook. I was like, yes! But do you know what you're meant to do? Is that right? You're meant to like wait a little bit, aren't you? Leave him hanging. But I just didn't. I was just like, confirmed straight away. I was like, I'm so keen. I was like, oh, great. I'm so keen. And they were like, Naomi, you accepted straight away. I was like, yeah. I was like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And anyway, we were talking and I was like, do I message him? Do I not? And I was like, no, I'll wait for him to message me. And a day goes by and there's just nothing. And I'm kind of like, oh, like, isn't he meant to message me? I don't know. How does it work? Anyway, and I thought, do you know what? I'm going to message him, okay? So I did it, everyone. I messaged James first on Facebook, is that right? And I messaged him, From that day forward, we were just talking all the time, every day. So we're in the May, and we're talking, it's going really well. And I was volunteering on a Tuesday. I was working for church on a Friday, but I was volunteering on a Tuesday and working every other day at the school. And I started to slip off a lot earlier on Tuesdays because I wanted to get up to Mattersea for lectures suddenly. And they were like, Naomi, you suddenly want to go to these lectures at Mattersea. Like, you're a distance learner, you don't need to. And I'd go up there, and me and James, we'd chat a lot, and everyone could see that we looked a bit inseparable. We were always around each other, always chatting. When I'd go up, this mysterious person just nipping up to Mattersea Bible College. From that, it was going really well. From that day, again, we're talking all the time. We FaceTimed a couple of times. That was nerve-wracking. That was FaceTiming. It's a bit more serious, isn't it? And then it's going really well. In the summer of 2015, I was going to serve at a Christian festival called Soul Survivor. Some of you will know it. And by coincidence, James was also going to serve. Separate teams. Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. And James is from the north, he's from Clitheroe, and he said he's planning on getting a train to Birmingham, and he messaged me and said, could I get a lift from Birmingham down to Shepton Mallet? Oh yeah, of course he wants a lift, yeah. Okay, so what I did, I was like, yeah, sure, I'll give you a lift. And I'm there, we're driving, good car journey again, getting on really well, all the way down to Soul Survivor. And obviously we get there with our tents, and we're going to camp on the team's village, but I realised I didn't think about how this would pan out. Suddenly, we put our tents next to each other. Don't worry, separate tents, everybody. Don't worry about that. And then we're just together all the time. We're talking all the time. We're together on separate teams, but we're chatting all the time, getting on really well, talking about life. Like, you know, when you talk about like more than you'd ever talk about with anyone else, it was like that. But then I'm like, well, in my head, I'm thinking, what's going on? Like, are we a thing? Are we not a thing? Do you know what I mean? Like, I need to know. Because I'm not a person that messes around. Yeah? I need to know. And so I rang my friend Jess, and I was like, Jess, like, I need to know what's going on. Because I've told him a lot about my life, like, a lot more than I would of most people. She was like, yeah, just ask him. Just say, like, what's going on. So I actually offered to give James a lift all the way back to Clitheroe. Yeah? I don't know. What love does? I don't know. So we're there, and I offered to give James a lift back to Clitheroe. And so what I do, he's got a return train ticket, so I could have dropped off in Birmingham. But I was like, no, I'll drop. He's like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, of course. He's like, and so we're in the car, and I think the car is a great opportunity to have this conversation, right? That's what I thought, anyway. So we're there. Everyone else is thinking, this is a bad idea. So we're there, and we're in the car, and I'm driving. And I think this is what I'm going to ask him. I'm going to ask him what's going on. And we're about a quarter of the way up, and I say to him, James, I just want to know, like, what's going on with us? Because I've told you a lot about my life. You've told me a lot about yours. We're getting on. There's obvious chemistry. You know, we obviously like each other, but I don't know where we're at. I don't know, are we a thing? Are we not a thing? And I'm in the car, and I'm driving, and I look at James, and his face drops. And it's not a face I want to see. I want to see a face of smiles and a face of, oh, yeah, will you go out with me? Yeah, you want to be my girlfriend? And he went, oh, no. Well, in fact, I don't know if I should say this. He said a word or I can't repeat. And I was like, oh, this is not good. I'm in the car, and I'm nervous, and I'm like, oh, this is not good. And he says, basically, I've been praying to God. And I feel like God's asking me to lay a few things down. And I feel like we're that thing. So do you know what he said? I think we should kill it. Kill it. Like, kill us. Like, as in, like, we shouldn't be a thing. I'm in the car. I'm driving. There's no escape. There's no escape for him. And I'm there, like, kill it. And what does that mean? And I'm like, I'm gutted. And I'm like, what? I thought we were a thing. I'm so sure. Me and God, like, God's told me. I'm sure we're a thing. I'm sure it's right. Anyway, I drive him, and he says to me, you know, we were near Birmingham, this is no lie. He says, you can drop me off at Birmingham if you like, for me to get the train. And I was like, no, it's fine. I said, I'll take it all the way. And then we go to a service station, and he goes and gets a Subway, and he says, do you want a Subway? No, I don't want your Subway. I don't want anything from you. No. I'm giving you a lift to go to the road, I'm going. Anyway, I actually had to be back for my dad's birthday because it was my dad's birthday and I had to be back for his. So I didn't need to also make sure in all this I wasn't late, okay? Because otherwise my family would know and, you know, we don't want them to know yet, do we? Anyway, I ended up actually being late and I had to explain myself a little bit. So I dropped him off in Clitheroe and then we're like, well, what do we do now? We can't talk the way we've been talking. We can't do that. So we just have to have some space from each other. Okay, let's not message. Let's have some space away from each other. All right, then let's see how that goes. It wasn't great. It didn't going to go very well. But it was painful. I dropped him off in Clitheroe and then I'm on the way home and I'm like, what just happened? I'm like, I thought I'd met my dream man. It was all going well. It's like, yeah, it was amazing. And then suddenly he said, kill it. And I'm like, God, what's that about? God, what's going on? And do you know what? I listened to It Is Well With My Soul like the whole way down. And I'm there like, well, it is well with my soul. Me and God, it's fine. I don't need him. It's fine. Yeah, ridiculous, I know. Anyway, we have some space from each other. And in the September of 2015, I decide to go and live at Mattersea Bible College, not because of James. I felt that God wanted me to finish my job at the school, carry on working for church, but go and live there. So I was going to live there. Bearing in mind, James already lived at the Bible College. You live on separate corridors and all that. It's all in halls and that. And I went to live there in September 2015, and again, knowing I was going to meet James again. And as soon as I get there, James is there. He's like emptying my car out for me. He's like putting stuff in my room for me. He's there helping me out. And we're like inseparable. And so we get to Mattersea. We've had this space from each other. We've had these awkward conversations. And now we're inseparable again. And we have loads of conversations. We had to have hard conversations. Like James was dealing with some stuff. I was dealing with some stuff. I was confused. He was confused. We were praying to God. But then on the 28th of September, 2015, on the day after my 21st birthday, James asked me to be his girlfriend. Woo! Made it. And then the year after, he asked me to be his wife. And then in 2017, we got married. Yeah. And we made it. We got there. But you know, there was an encounter and there was a process which led to the change of us finally being married. And this morning, you know, I want to talk about being changed forever. That's what I want to talk about. Because when I met James, my life was truly changed forever, it was. But you know what? I believe God can change your life forever. And you know, before I met James, God changed my life forever. And that was a different thing. You know, God's love is a love that lasts forever. God's love is a love that no one can ever give you. But God loves every single one of you in this room, I truly believe. And you know, God's love is not a romantic love. It's like a fatherly love. It's a love that's forever. And I believe every single one of you, God wants to encounter you this morning. He wants you to encounter him this morning. Now, a lot of us in the room may have encountered God before, but I believe when we live a life for God, we should be changed forever. And that's what I want to speak on this morning. That's what I feel God has asked me to speak on this morning. And I want us to look at someone in the Bible whose life was truly changed and transformed forever when he'd had an encounter with God. And so I want us to look at Paul this morning in the Bible. I want us to turn to Acts 9. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn to that. It's on the screen as well if you want to follow that. Okay, so I'm going to read from verse 1. Saul's conversion. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who'd belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. "Ananias, yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. Come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports from this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim the name of the Lord to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus has appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciple in Damascus. At once, he began to preach the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. So Saul had a conversion that changed his life forever. And this morning, I want to talk about looking. I want to look at this. I want to look at the fact that Saul was a murderer, but God chose him and God loved him so much that he came to him and he made him blind for 3 days. And I believe part of the process of making him blind for 3 days was that he had to do something miraculous for Saul to believe in God. That's what I think when I read the story. I often take that from that. I think, wow, he must have had to do something miraculous for Saul to realize that God is real. You know, he's seen Jesus as well. People around him didn't see Jesus, but Saul saw Jesus. Which is this thing, wow, it's an amazing encounter with God, isn't it? And then his life was changed forever. But you know, Saul also had to go on a process for him to get the change. And you know what? Saul, obviously later on, was Paul. He probably would have had two names, a Jewish name and a Greek name. His Greek name would have been Paul. It wasn't until 14 years later he changed his name. But he went through a process. And then what happened is actually Paul, I believe, is one of the most influential men past Jesus in the New Testament. He wrote half the New Testament. He helped build the early church. Thousands of people came to know God because of Paul's life. You know, they saw his testimony. They heard his testimony. And Paul preached the word of God. But he had to go on a process to get to that point. He had to go and train. There was 3 years out that Paul had that we don't really know where he was. We know he was traveling. We know he was around. But it was probably that 3 years out that he had after this happened. It was probably to go and learn and to go and train in God because it's a process. But then there was results. And the results were people came to know God. The results were that people were mentored. Pastors were mentored because of Paul. And I don't think the church would be here today if it wasn't for him. But it's all because of God. It's because God worked through Paul and chose him. And I believe in this room, every single one of us have a calling on our lives. God has chose every single one of us to do something significant for him. And I wonder, are you going to choose to decide, yeah, I want to live for that cause. I want to live for God. I want to live my life changed forever. Because you know, when you encounter God, I believe you could never, ever be the same. The first thing I want to look at is the encounter. You know, God wants you to encounter him this morning. That's the first thing I want to, have we got the encounter slide? No worries if we haven't. It might be, oh, there we go. If you've never encountered God this morning, I want to encourage you, God wants you to encounter him. And how do you encounter God? You ask God into your life. You ask him. You know, you say, God, I want you. I want to live my life for you. You know, God, if you know you're there, I want you in my life. And you know what? God wants you to encounter him this morning. He loves you. I believe that God has chosen every single one of us to be here this morning for a reason. So if you've never encountered God, what do? You just pray and you ask God, God, I want you in my life. We've worshipped him this day, today, and God loves you. He's got great plans for you. And for me, I'm like, why wouldn't I want God? Because God has got the best life for you. I believe it says that Jesus came that you'd have life and life to the full, church. Yeah, and I want that life to the full. It doesn't mean life's perfect, and I'll come on to that, but it means when you encounter God, I believe you can never be the same. But I think a lot of us here have encountered God, but I think as well, when I was preparing this, I felt that a lot of us, maybe we love the encounters. The encounters are the nice bit, aren't they? It's like when me and James met, it was so nice. You know, when I had like butterflies, it was all nice. It was like, yeah, I'm never going to argue. It's going to be the best thing ever. Woo. Do you know what I mean? But then we have to go through a process. We couldn't stay there. It's like you can't stay as a child, you know, as an adult. You can't stay as a child. You have to grow up. You have to grow. There has to be a process. Saul, he couldn't stay just at that amazing moment because he had business to do. God had chosen him to do business, yeah? God had chosen him. And God has chosen us to do stuff for him, yeah? And so we can't stay at the encounter as well. And I feel that maybe some of us, we live for our Sundays. Sundays are great in the house of God. We worship, you know, Christians together. It's really nice. But then when Monday comes, Are we acting out our faith? Are we in relationship with God? Or do we just wait for Sunday to come? Jesus, Jesus. Then Monday comes and we're tired. We're frustrated at our job. We're frustrated because we haven't got a job. You know, we have a family and there's all these distractions. There's all these things. They're good things, but they can distract us from actually encountering God in our everyday. Because encountering God in our everyday is a process. And I want to encourage you, don't just live for conferences. Don't just live for the Sunday mornings. It's not enough. God wants you to encounter him every day. How do you do that? You have to go through a process. Is that right? Yeah? So the encounter is great. If you've never encountered God, I believe you should encounter God today. I believe you need God. Why do you need God? Because he's got a life of hope, a life of freedom for you. You know, with God, I know where I'm going. Because I don't always know what I'm doing every day, but I know where I'm going. I know I've got a life forever with him. And surely you want that, church. And I want to encourage you, if you're not a Christian here today, then I believe being the Christian is the best decision you could ever make. Asking God into your life is the best thing because he loves you and he is for you and he is not against you. Yeah? So if you're not a Christian here today, I want to encourage you, encounter God. Get the encounter. But if you've got the encounter, you've had the encounter, don't just live for the moments. God wants to encounter you in the everyday, but that takes a process. As I said, Saul had to go through a process. So what do you take from that point? You need God. Saul was a murderer and God chose him. God chooses every single one of you. He loves you. He sent his son Jesus to die on a cross to forgive you. So you don't need to live with guilt or shame anymore. If there's anyone here living with guilt or shame, there's freedom. And that's why I believe living the life with God is the best thing you could do. Because it's a life of freedom. It's a life of hope. It's a life of joy. It's a love that no one will ever give you. God's love is supernatural, it's beautiful, it's everlasting. God is all around us. His love casts out all fear. You need his love this morning. So if you know you need another encounter with God, you know you need a fresh encounter, ask this morning, take that point, ask him. He wants you to encounter him this morning. Then we look at the process. Now, the process is something we often don't want to look. We don't want to look at, we don't want to hear about, because the process can be difficult. A relationship with God isn't always easy. Why? Because God sometimes reveals things to us that we must do. Saul, he encountered God and he had to go on a process. There was a lot of processes he had to go on. And just a few were, like I said, he went away for about 3 years. He went and traveled a bit. And in them 3 years, he would have had to train, get to know God. He would have had to do the training, which a lot of us don't like to do, right? He would have had to get into his Bible, get into his word. Yeah, get to know it. So he was going to preach it because he had a calling of God to preach it. He would have had to rectify his reputation. He was a murderer. And so people around him are like, I don't want to listen to you because you're a murderer. But God had chosen him and appointed him. So he would have had to say some sorries. Because who knows, God forgives you straight away. But when it comes to people forgiving us, we're all human, it's harder, right? So in the process, he would have had to have some tough conversations in the process. It was about 14 years after he changed his name. It wasn't straight away. If you look at the timings, if you study it a little bit, you'll see that. But he would have had two names. As I said, Saul, people would hear Saul and they think murderer. People would hear Paul and they probably wouldn't think that. But his Jewish name would have been Saul and his Greek name would have been Paul. And he would have used Paul at times, he would have used Saul at times. But like I said, Saul had a bad reputation, so he had to rectify his reputation. I wonder what part of the process do you know you need to go on? Do you know you just need a relationship with God in the everyday? You need God in your everyday. Why? Because a life with God is the best life. A life with God gives you direction, gives you hope. Yeah? But maybe you need to have some tough conversations in the process. Me and James, we had unexpected conversations. Like when he told me to kill it, that was a part of a process. But without that, like we had to go and then we had to pray more, speak to God more. We had to go on a process and have conversations that were difficult. I had to deal with some stuff. James had to deal with some stuff. Because in the process, we have to. And God convicts us at times. And at times we're convicted, and that's hard. Conviction is hard, but conviction is good. Because conviction is from God. And when you have a relationship with God, it means sometimes we have to lay some stuff down. Yeah? And so I wonder if you're in the room, you know you need to lay some stuff down. Maybe it's an addiction that you have that's getting in the way of you and God. Maybe it's putting money before God. Maybe it's self-harm. Maybe it's addictions. Maybe it's pornography. Maybe it's sex. Maybe it's a friendship that you know is not good for you. Maybe it's a relationship that's not good. What do you need to lay down? Because sometimes when we encounter God, it's really nice and we love that bit. But then when we have a relationship with God and we feel a bit convicted, like we need to do something about our lives, that's the hard bit, yeah? But it's all out of love. Remember that, okay? Because it's not condemnation, it's conviction. They are different things. God does it out of love. So when you feel challenged out of love, if you feel challenged right now, you feel like, oh, that may be for me. It's probably a bit of conviction, but go and do it. And if you go and give up that thing, it's easy for me to say, it's harder to do. It's a process and it's a journey. But ask God, and in God's strength, encounter God, and he will help you through the process. You know, the process is the application of the encounter. You can have all these lovely encounters, and I see a lot of people in church, they have great encounters on a Sunday, and when it comes to Monday, they just go back exactly how they were before. But if we want to feel changed forever and be changed forever, we have to make changes, yeah? We have to make changes in our lives. And I want to encourage you, don't be led by your emotions, church. think so often, like I said, I work with young people, and young people can be very emotional. I know for me as a young person, I was very up and down every day. But I was a Christian growing up, and I have had to learn not to be led by my emotions. You know, Saul, let me talk about Paul. When we see, look at Paul's life, he had every reason to not go and preach the gospel. Because, you know, Paul was persecuted for his faith. Paul was ridiculed. He was prisoned. He went on a ship and he got shipwrecked. He was abandoned. He was stripped. He was beaten. All of them things. He was all of them things, but yet he was led by his spirit and not by his emotion. He knew he had a calling of God in his life from the encounter. Every single one of you have got a calling of God in your life. Don't be led by your emotions, church. You know, tomorrow morning when you wake up, you may not feel it today. You may not feel it. You may be tired. You may be frustrated with where you're at. And frustrations are tiredness. It's okay. But don't be led by that. Don't be led by that. Be led by the spirit. Speak to God in the process. In the process, we can get frustrated, we can get tired, we can get worn out. If your job situation is not going the way you want it to go, if you don't like what you're doing, or if you don't have a job and you're frustrated, I want to encourage you, encounter God, pray, speak to him, but have him in you every day. Go through the process. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart, ask God to help you deal with it. But sometimes we don't want to deal with it. And I want to encourage us in the process, we need to deal with things, church. We need to deal with things in our process. And often this is the part where I've seen people leave God, or I've seen people leave church because they've had their amazing encounter and it's been really nice and they've been challenged and they don't want to do it. But let's not be people that don't want to do it, because God's got so much for you to do. You know, Jesus, he went to the cross. He suffered the most horrific death anyone could ever suffer. The crucifixion, it was known to be that. And Jesus's was even worse than the protocol of crucifixions. It was the worst it could be. But he went to the cross for me and for you because he loves you. And I want to encourage you, you know, if Jesus went to the cross, what do you need to do in the process? It's difficult and it's not easy to hear, but what do you need to do? It's all because God loves you and he wants the best for you. And I want to remind you of that. And God wants to protect you. So sometimes we have to lay things down. That's because God wants to protect you. You know, we have the Ten Commandments. We have ways that Jesus lived that we should live for a reason, because God has got the best life for you and he wants to protect you and he loves you. Not for punishment, yeah? Not for a rubbish, boring life. My life's not rubbish. It's not boring. It's a life with God. It's the best ever. Oh, I love it. It's not always easy. I go through things. You know, I get frustrated at times. I do. People, you know, ask James, he'll tell you that. As my friends, they'll tell you that. But I've got God and I've got a hope and I've got a future. So in the process, what do you need to do? Do you need to forgive someone or ask for forgiveness? Do you need to stop doing that thing that you know is getting in the way of your relationship with God? Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's not putting God first. Do you need to make some lifestyle changes? Do you need to rectify your reputation? When you're at work tomorrow, how are you going to be? Are you going to be how you are on a Sunday morning, or are you going to go back to how you were on Friday? Are you going to be willing to make some changes? God asks us to make changes. He wants us to lay our lives down for him. Saul did it, and we need to do it. It's not easy. We don't like it. But you know what? It gives us understanding. The process gives us understanding. The process grounds us, and it helps us to go deeper in our faith with God. You get to know yourself more, and you get to know God more. The process is important. And the last point I want to look at is the change. You know, there's two points with the change. It's the change in you that you need, and the change in others that others need around you. You could be someone that changes other people's lives as well, just as Saul was with God, because God wants us to do that. But first of all, let me encourage you that we're living for a greater cause, church. When you encounter God and you decide, yes, God, you're in my life, I love you, you're not living for yourself anymore, you're living for God. And remember, that's a life of hope, freedom, and love. And so you're going through the process, it's painful, it's hard, but the change is coming, church. The change is coming. That change that you are stronger with God, that change is that you live a life that God's got for you instead of your own life. And I believe it's the best, because it's a life with hope. Saul went through a drastic change, but it didn't just happen like that. He had to go through a process. Yeah, we see this amazing encounter, and we see, yes, he went to preach straight away, but then he got ridiculed straight away as well, if you read on. And then he went away for 3 years and he came back. It took 14 years to change his name. Process after process. I don't know what change you want to see in your life. Do you want to see a change in your financial situation? Do you want to see a change in your relationship? Do you want to see a change in your life, maybe in your mind, in your mental health? Do you want to see changes, church? If you want to see changes, you encounter God, you have to go through the process and you have to deal with some stuff. And you need people to help you deal with that stuff, maybe. People to pray for you. Because God can break through your situation, church. He can. He broke through Saul's. He can break through. And it's not just Saul. He broke through people's situations time and time again in the Word of God. I can give you many examples. But you have to be willing to change. I meet a lot of people and they say, yeah, I encountered God, but then Monday was just, ugh. And I've not seen a change in my life. Well, are you reading the Word of God? Are you in a relationship with God? Do you know God? Because there should be evidence when you know God in your life. There should be evidence, church. There should be a difference. Are you willing to change? I see and hear a lot of people go, they love it. They put their life on Facebook. They put it on Instagram. Woe me, I'm going through this, I'm going through that. And I'm not belittling what you're going through. Please don't hear what I'm not saying. Because some of you are going through some really difficult circumstances, but God can break through your circumstance. The change, the process. We need to be willing to deal with it. Don't stop at the process. Too many people stop at the process. But God wants your life to be changed and transformed forever. The devil, he wants you to stop at the process. It's hard, it's difficult. I don't want to do it. I don't want to deal with what's gone on in the past. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with it because it's too hard. I don't want to go back there. But you know what? We have to deal with things. I work with young people every day and I try and help them deal with their circumstances and situations. And we talk about it and we talk it through. That needs to happen. It's painful for them. But then what do we see is they feel better when they've talked about it and when they're dealing with it. And I know they'd feel even better if they knew God. Some of them do. But you know, Paul's life was changed. And then he went on to change other people's lives. Some of you, you've had the change in your life, but you know you need to live out God in your everyday. God wants, you know, God's got a calling for you in your life. And so, as I said, Saul had every reason to respond with backlash. Paul did, when he was stripped, abandoned, abused, accused. But you know what? In 2 Corinthians, this is what the word says. Paul wrote this, we are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but we are not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. You know, the life of Jesus should flow out of us when we know God, church. I wonder tomorrow, how are you going to allow your day to look? Are you going to live it with the Word of God? Are you going to live it differently? Are you going to be the change to other people? Because people need Jesus, church. They need Jesus. Why? Because a life with God is a life of hope and of freedom. And I will never stop preaching this Word of God. Why? Because God has called me to preach the gospel, but He's not just called me. He's called you as well, church. He's called you. Yes, I'm the youth and young adults pastor, but you are the pastors everywhere you go. You are ministering everywhere you go. And people need God because people are going to a life of suffering. People are going to a life of hopelessness. But you know what? God brings us hope and He brings us freedom, church. And I want to live with that hope and freedom, but not just for me, but for all of my family, for all of my friends, for all of the young people I meet, for everyone. So church, tomorrow, how is your day going to look? Are you going to be changed and transformed by the renewing of your mind with Jesus so that you can then go and help be Jesus to other people? Because you may be the closest Jesus to Jesus people get, church. So come on, we have a mission, yeah? Do we have a mission? In John 15:16, it says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love each other. Just go and show the love of God. What do you need to do that? Ephesians 2:10, Paul says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has got good works for you to do. Your situation may look bad right now. Encounter God, go through the process to deal with it and see the change in your life. And then your life, just as Saul's was, will be a testimony to other people's. The change for me and James, we got married and God appointed that and it was a beautiful thing. Yeah, but now we have to sometimes encounter each other again, go through the process, have them conversations again, and then see a change. And I had this vision when I was doing this message and preparing this, and we got this circle. I don't know what you call it really. Here we go. So I see it as a constant cycle. So you come to God, you have the encounter, yeah, here. You encounter God right now, God. Some of you are encountering God. God loves you. He's got great things for you, and you need to hear that right now. You need to accept that. You need to be praying. Are you praying for your finances? Are you praying for that addiction to go? Are you praying for no more self-harm, no more anxiety? Are you praying for a job? What are you believing for, church? Are you just believing for your friend to become a Christian, for a family member? Encounter God, ask Him, speak to Him. And then you go through a process. Maybe it's being accountable with someone in church. Maybe you need to go and speak to someone and say, you need to help me get this out of my life. Go and do it, yeah? Because other people will help you. Maybe you need to go on a course. Maybe you need to get some counseling. Maybe you need to get some help, yeah? Maybe you need to just go and have a relationship with God. Read your Bible. What is it you need to do in the process? Maybe you need to say sorry to someone. Maybe you need to ask for forgiveness. Maybe you need to change your job. And then you see the change. And then you've got something else. Okay, well, let's encounter God. Go through the process. And then we'll see the change. Changed forever. God wants to keep shaping you and molding you and changing your life forever. The encounter. Do you need an encounter with God right now? Pray. Ask God. Do you need to make some tough decisions in this process? Stop doing what you're doing. Reevaluate things. And you'll see the change. And do you know you need to make some changes in your life to go and be Jesus to people? What do you need to do? But I believe there's a message in here for everyone because it's the Bible. God asks us, go and make disciples. Love each other. What do you need to do, church? The result of all of this is a life filled with love, joy, hope, and freedom. It's not a perfect life. In fact, Saul's life, you see, like I said, he went through some really rubbish stuff. In life, there's things you will still go through because, you know, we live in an imperfect world and the devil's trying to bring you down, and there's just things in life that you might go through. But you know what? You've always got God with you, a God that loves you, who is for you, who is not against you, and a God who wants you to live in a hope. So even if I'm feeling down, like I said, if I'm emotionally feeling down, or we're going through something, or me and James are going through something, or I don't know, I'm finding things tough at work, I know I've got God, and I live for a greater cause than myself, and I live for God. So it's okay, because I've got a hope and a future. It's okay, and it's okay for you because you've got a hope and a future and freedom. And I just want to leave, I just want to pray right now. I'm sorry, I've gone over my time a little bit. But just, if you just want to close your eyes for a moment, let's just ask, God, would you come? God, I pray right now that people would just start to encounter you again. You are here, God. And I pray, God, would you come? For anyone that's not encountered you before, I pray right now they just feel your love, your amazing, intangible love, that when we encounter that love, we can never be the same again. I pray for anyone here that knows they need to do something. I pray, God, would you challenge anyone here that knows they need to do something this week, a tough conversation? They need to say sorry. They need to stop doing something they're doing, whether it's watching something online, whether it's self-harm, that it's drunkenness, that it's hanging around with a certain someone. God, I pray you just help us right now. Help us to know what we need to do to live a life with you forever. But God, you are always here and your grace is sufficient and you love every one of us, no matter who we are, no matter what we have done and what we do. But God, I pray that you challenge us right now. Would you challenge us? I pray we would go and we would go out tomorrow morning and we would be different and we would be you to those around us in our world, in our families, on the school playground, with our friends, in our jobs, in our workplaces. I pray, God, as we seek you in this process, that you would always be with us because you have a life for us, a hope and a freedom. And I pray that we'd all know we can live in the hope that we have you eternally with us and that your love is a love like no other. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. You are. And I pray that we'd know that we are changed forever when we encounter you. Our lives to be changed forever when we encounter you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.